Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into Podcast Room 303. Introducing one co-host with more nuggets than Chick-fil-A, Nick Morahan. Executive producer until we find someone better, Eric Washington. Nobody really knows what he does around here, Nevada Putnam. And now, the single greatest thing to happen to hosting in history, Jermaine Antonio Colon Mendez. On with the show.
Wowee. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into Podcast Room 303, episode 248. I'm your host, Jermaine Colon Mendez. This is my co-host, Nicholas Morahan. And as always, we have with us the producers, Nevada and DEPE. How are you doing this evening, Nick?
I'm good, man. I think we have an inaugural thing on the podcast today. So introduce it and then zoom out. That was a big zoom out. Are you controlling this?
Nah, dude. It's the Apple like camera. And so it just like does what it wants. So if I hold it like this, I think eventually. Yeah. Thumbs up comes. Oh, Nick messed up the branding. We're rocking StreamYard on here. Disgusting. Shout out StreamYard. Platform's pretty fire, but 303 is better. We talked about it. I believe we talked about it on another podcast. I hope it was on the podcast and not pre-show, but we started messing with Nick because Nick is a expert planner, let's just say. So we have a set time where we all get together to do pre-show before we go into the actual recording. And Nick is notorious for like, hey man, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 12 minutes.
Nobody shows up to a party on time, okay?
12 minutes. Nick is, he's the cool kid, even though it's like, yeah, there's no bitches. There's no bitches.
There's one bitch, okay?
So we started finding him $1 for every minute. But we decided to call it Nick's time suck parlay. And so we'll total up the amount of time late per month and we'll submit a parlay. We'll post it on the socials and everything so people could ride along. We are at 36. So, and after we told Nick this is what we were doing, my man's was in there like swimwear. Yep. He was early, on time, ready to go. Like, I was like, this motherfucker's like, I'm not giving no parlay money. And then Nick, what happened today?
Well, that's exactly what I wanted you guys to think. In reality, I was, that's just how it lined up. Just like Thanos, this was an inevitability that I was going to have something that happened. And you're just looking at the time, you're like, I'm not going to make it.
Yeah. So Nick was off saving the world from the flood and the covenant. And so now we're at $36. And I'll tell you what, Nevada and I were happy. Eric completely forgot. So it's a good thing that we keep that
we stay around. So. Hey, Eric.
I got you, big dog. I got you.
I appreciate you.
So
goldfish brain, I appreciate that.
So how you doing this evening, Nevada?
I'm doing good. I got $36 to blow here.
No,
I guess next week.
No, you have $12. You have $12 as a part of it. And you you can get your $12 part right, but unless you get all three parts right, you don't win however much you get it.
I know the rules.
You want me to be a bank? I'm going to put ludicrous bank rules on it. Okay.
We made the rules. I know what I'm getting at.
This funding don't come cheap. Okay.
This is what we call a plus trip in the biz. And how you doing this evening, Eric?
Doing good, man. Glad to be back. I know I missed a couple weeks, so excited to be back for a fun episode. While everybody yawns as soon as I start talking, so I appreciate that, boys.
That didn't even.
I didn't yawn.
That's true. Jermaine didn't yawn.
They said you're a dullard is what they said. All right. Today's episode, we'll be getting into head-to-head as usual. It's not good for most of us. PCP, top five skills you'd like to learn this late in life. We have two submissions for the What the Fuck headline, and then we'll discuss NHL trade deadline, NFL free agency. we'll also preview. We'll have Nevada preview the NHL playoff push. See which teams have clinched, which teams are in the hunt, and etc. This is the first time he's hearing of it, so you see his confusion on YouTube. We'll see how well he does when we get to that section. So, without further ado, let's get into the head-to-head. All right, Eric.
All right, so last week was actually probably one of the better weeks that we've had. If you're not listening to the podcast motto, it was a good week for you. So Jermaine went 1-2, putting him at 4-32 on the season, down 20.21 units.
Coming from Nicholas, the asshole that won all three games. It was a good week. Yeah, I think it was.
Nicholas went 0-3. Putting him at 431-1, down 8.72 units. Nevada 1-2, 8-28, I believe that says, down 19.81 units. And yours truly had a perfect week, 3-0, putting me at 12-24, up 19.24 units on the year.
I'm glad NC State won.
Yep.
I am. But that was the only thing that missed with that parlay, plus 1252.
You faded NC State?
Yeah, of course, dude.
And that was the last game of that parlay, right? That was a 7 o'clock tip-off game.
Nine.
Or if you're PST.
10, yeah. I think it was 10, yeah.
Dang,
yeah. Bro. Bro, why would you fade your own team?
It really be your own people, don't it?
Because you don't bet with your heart.
That's the kiss of death. You never bet against your own team, though.
Like always. I always bet against the Carolina Panthers.
The Panthers are and Rockies are not good teams.
Hey,
mind you, and he did
Cactus
that.
League champs.
After earlier in the week sending us something about the last time in 83 when Valvano took them to the championship, they were in Pittsburgh, right? Isn't that what you said?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, because I didn't realize that until the tournament games. That the last time they won a championship, their first two region games were in Pittsburgh.
Where were they this year?
Pittsburgh.
Got to follow. Because
I was
going
off the stat that the last time they won the ACC championship in 1987, they were also an 11 seed, and they lost that game.
What an arbitrary stat to go by,
to a Texas team.
What an arbitrary stat to go by, dude.
Well, that's what I operate on. Welcome. Have you met me?
Unfortunately,
did
you want the actual answer to that?
No, they played Florida.
I would like to point out that I kept my NASCAR streak alive with near misses.
Oh, really?
He was in second place with about 10 laps to go.
And he lost?
Yeah.
Did he at least finish second?
No.
Finished 10th.
He didn't even finish second. That's amazing. So, Aaron, you said he finished 10th?
Yeah, he ended up finishing 10th. I actually tuned in to watch that. I was rooting for Nevada this time, and I really wanted you to hit one of those NASCAR picks, dude.
He finished 10th? Was in second with 10 laps ago, finished 10th?
Nevada is the – if you guys can find it at your books, whatever sports book you use that's not DraftKings, if you can find most laps led in a NASCAR race, Nevada is a lock. Is a stone cold lock for that winner.
DraftKings doesn't have it specifically because Nevada 303 use DraftKings. Right. That's the whole reason why he doesn't use it.
Because he would bankrupt them.
For sure. He would. That would be bad. Let's get into pop culture pick'em here. Top five skills you'd like to learn this late in life. Today's order is Nevada, myself, Nick, Eric. All right, Nevada, take it away.
What a perfect segue. I want to know how to place a winning bet.
I want to know how to stop gambling. By the way, for the tens and tens who don't know, DraftKings wants me to join an exclusive VIP club to be a VIP member. They have now stopped emailing me and they have started texting me to get me to join this club.
Yeah, it's not the VIP club you're thinking of. It's not the winner's club. It's the loser's square.
Well, they call it that, but I think I'm going to take out some house loans, you know, max out my credit cards. Really, I think really get this ball rolling. You know,
what you should do is discuss it with a trained mental health professional.
Because good, like a psychologist,
they know exactly what you shouldn't do to feed into this.
Smart. And then I'll do exactly what they do, what they say not to do.
Train like the pros and DM Shohei.
Heard you need a new arigato gozaimasu. I heard you need a new translator.
See, this bet right here, you're going to want lap leader.
This is going to get that $4.5 million that you lost. Wink, wink. Back.
Yeah, someone
or that
stolen.
It was
stolen. Yeah. My ass, Shohei. Stolen my ass. Anyways, I'll take a piano. Learn how to play the piano.
Oh, that's a good one.
Solid.
I'm going to go woodworking for a skill to learn later in life. Woodworking.
Dude, you've been doing that since 12. What are you talking about?
No, like carving wood.
Oh, got it.
If I catch the guy that showed up late to this podcast, I'm going to beat his dick off with both hands. All right, oh, Eric, you're up.
Shame to say it, but I've never been able to do it, so I'm going to say ice skating.
Dude, I wanted to see Eric ice skate, so yeah, I'm in.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I'll try it just to see what happens, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to bust my butt.
Let's do an Eric against Nevada one-on-one.
Isn't Nevada like a semi-professional hockey player?
Yeah, he's pretty good at hockey, yeah.
Yeah, I'm good on that. I'm good on that.
As far as this group is concerned, semi-pro.
Yeah.
Nowhere close.
As far as this group is concerned, he's in the NHL.
You seen that movie with Sean William Scott? Yeah, that's Nevada.
Yeah.
What's it called? Goon?
Goon.
Yeah.
Goon,
yeah. No, I haven't seen it. I'll check it out, though. Next pick, I'm going to go with...
It's actually pretty good.
It's a good movie.
Sean William Scott doesn't miss, bro, but... Dude,
let's relax here, bro. I know you love American Pie.
What has he missed on?
Dude, are you kidding me?
Name it.
I would have to look it up because that's how bad it is. I forgot it.
Uh-huh.
Now here, I'm going to go look it up. I'm going to shit all over his catalog.
I'm going to do like coding so I can learn how to build an app.
It's not easy.
Yeah, I bet.
It is easy.
To build an app? No.
The Dukes of Hazzard, right off the bat.
Excellent movie. Two thumbs up.
Goodness. I'm going to go with... writing later in life. I want to learn how to write.
You didn't do that in school?
Yeah, but poorly.
Yeah, Nick was all over the place in school.
I want to write goodly.
I want to learn how to grow my own vegetables.
Not just your own plants anymore?
No, I'm leveling up, dog.
Okay.
I'm like Jinwoo in solo leveling. About to be the most OP character in the game.
Those were English words.
You have no clue what I just said.
Those were English. No, I know what you said. The context behind them is completely missing.
It's a Japanese... Well, it's not a Japanese anime. It's a Korean manga that was turned into an anime. And it's based on video games. So it's called solo leveling. And it's... awesome, and he has the ability to be the most OP anime character ever, like with Goku, Naruto, Luffy. Like, he has the ability to be way more powerful than them. Like, that's how ridiculous it is. But he's trash right now, and he's also known as the weakest hunter in the world.
That's not good. No, that's not good. Is there any way they could possibly develop his plot so that he expands from that?
So when you get your initial designator, there is no way to get stronger. But he found, yeah, it's awesome. I'm telling you, like, Sword Art Online, if you like those graphics, the guy who did Sword Art Online is doing solo leveling. And the story is fantastic. They just put together a fight in this last one, called the Knight Who Guards the Throne. And that dude came out and was ready to, he was giving him the business. I was like, the main character ain't going to survive this. And it was a side quest because he was trying to find his job. So it's
I've been doing that side quest for 4 years now. Yeah.
I'm doing that side quest right now. RMF jobs, El Paso.
Alrighty, for my next pick, I want to know or be at least competent as a car mechanic to be able to fix the car.
Shit.
Any part, any issue, just being able to diagnose it, fix it, move on.
That's a good one.
My next one on the back-to-back, I will go with being able to dress fashionably for any situation.
Is Chopsticks going to make this list?
Ugh, I'm trying to keep stuff realistic.
That ship has sailed, bro.
Dressed fashionably. I love that South Suburban shirt, though.
But man, Nevada was getting undressed by your Korean buddy, Nick.
Oh, the
drunker he got, the more Korean mom he gave him for not being able to use Chopsticks, dude.
Dude, David is so funny. David is the most dry person in human history.
For sure. I don't think he's heard of, he doesn't know how to spell inflection.
He has no filter either. And it gets worse when he drinks.
Man, what do I want to learn? Dude, I want to learn how to race motorbikes.
Mm.
Then I could bet on you.
Oh my God, this is all coming together. And that leads directly into my next pick, fly fishing.
Jeez. You're not old enough to have that on your list already. Oh, man. Eric gets popped every time it's his selection. We just have this weird dead spot of everyone laughing. It's all right, Eric. I'll filibuster. And so that Mickey and Pluto come. No, I'm just kidding.
No. So with my next one, I'm going to go counting cards.
Ooh. Oh.
You're trying to fuck Vegas up, dude?
Yeah, 100%. I'm trying to get all my money back. All the money that we lost on Nevada's NASCAR bets, we can get it back.
Yeah, as long as they don't listen to podcasts.
And then I guess I don't know if I'll ever do it because of my fear of the ocean, but I do want to learn how to surf. So I'll put surfing. That's a skill, right?
Yeah. That's a definite skill, yeah.
My guy.
I will go because I'm at the end of my list now because a lot of these got taken. It's a good scratch, buddy. I'm going to go patience. I'd like to learn patience this late in life. That'd be pretty cool.
Oh, man, that's great. I'm going with archery.
Hmm.
Nice.
All right. I am going to go with learning a couple languages, not just bilingual, but a few handful of languages.
Are you bilingual now?
I mean, I know American Spanish.
Taquito does not count, my guy.
I was just going to say burrito, taco. That doesn't count, brother.
See.
Yeah. See.
Yo, Quiero, Taco Bell.
Fourth meal.
Let me know if this one's too close to Nick's, but carpentry, like building a house.
No, that's good.
home maintenance kind of stuff.
Why did that get you hard?
I just imagined Nevada with like an Amish beard and like the Amish outfit, like raising a barn.
I think he's doubting you, Nevada. That was hurtful. That laughter came from a place of hurt.
I did just because I like it's just funny. Your dad is first of all, Eric.
Mm-hmm.
Spell carpentry for the people who aren't on YouTube.
I don't even know.
Eric, just spell it how you put it in there. Don't change it.
I put carpentry.
Read it out.
There we go. Carpentry. Take out the E, you spell it right.
Carpentry. Because Eric cares.
Eric, I have an offer to give you for your next skill.
Spelling? Appreciate it, brother.
Typing glass.
Oh, my God. I'll take sewing, designing my own clothes.
God damn it.
Patience, Nick.
What happened, Hank?
I've learned it yet. That was my next pick.
Let's go. That makes it even better.
I don't do this enough, and I know this is going to be a hacky skill, just like I said, write goodly. I want to also be able to read goodly, too. I don't read enough.
But you have the skill.
So you just want to read more is the skill.
Yeah, read goodly.
No, reading. Now that I've been reading more, it's a skill, man. The more
Eric,
you do it,
don't defend me, please.
All right, brother.
We're not denying that reading is a skill. We're not denying that, but look, you're not making it this far if you can't read. I hate to break it to you. Like, that's a pretty essential skill to make it to where you are right now.
Apparently, not a. Not a deal breaker in DC, though.
Are you going to context that?
I had one of my friends. I went on a date with someone, and someone said, at least you can read, and it broke my brain. And I asked most of my friends, would this be a deal breaker? And a lot of them said no. A guy not knowing how to read would not be a deal breaker on a date. Immediate deal breaker.
Women's bars have been lowered so low in DC that if the guy can't
read, you don't even have to read.
That's amazing. Dating is in shambles. I went on a date on Friday, and boy, I'll tell you what. If you want to listen to somebody talk about their ex for 45 minutes.
When did we go on a date?
Bro, I was like, this is ridiculous.
You went on a date with Nick from a year ago.
Bro. Nick would always hit me up. I'd be like, talk to me, Poppy. What you need? What you need, Poppy?
What you need?
All right, Eric.
For my last pick, I don't even know if this is a word, but swordsmith? God, I couldn't say it. Swordsmith.
Explain that, because what are you trying to do with it? Blacksmith?
No. I want to buy a katana and learn how to chop heads with it.
Oh, so like you want to become like a sword master?
Yeah, would that be the proper term?
He wants to learn Bushido.
Fencing, maybe. Fencing,
he wants to learn
sword master.
Bushido.
Swordsmith is not.
Sword
I don't think.
Play?
Master the sword.
Master the sword.
I'm pretty sure Eric's got that sword play already, dog.
Eric wants to use two hands on a sword.
His sword or somebody else's sword?
It's going to be somebody else's sword at first. That's how you learn. And then you can grab your own sword.
The only way I'll approve of this as a skill, Eric, is if it's a laser sword.
Ooh.
Yeah. If you give me a lightsaber, hell yeah. I'm in. Talking about.
I could learn
how to use the.
No, lightsaber is copyrighted. We can't say it on the podcast. It's laser sword. Laser.
I would like to.
Laser. Taser.
I'd like to honorable mention cooking.
Nah. I'm marrying into that shit, dude.
Oh, yeah.
No chance.
It's so easy. You just look up a recipe and follow the recipe.
Nope.
Well, I got like a handful that I know by heart, but. You know, to get more in that, like those celebrity chef shows or something where they're like, oh, yeah, here's a pig's foot and a cucumber. And they're like, oh, yeah, got it.
Nevada
shows up to my house and I think he's like a gourmet chef. And he's like, I got to learn to cook. He shows up. He's like, you want me to make you some scrambled eggs and bacon? I'm like, yes, please. I haven't eaten in years. Now he's talking like before Katie. Now he's talking like he needs to learn how to cook. What does that make me?
I usually outsource my eggs to McDonald's.
Right. Wait, you have to cook them first?
I thought you just go up to a window and they come out. Drafters. All right, read the list back, Eric.
So Nevada had so top five skills you'd like to learn this late in life. Nevada had the first pick: place a winning bet, car mechanic, dress fashionably, a couple languages, and carpentry. Jermaine went piano, grow veggies, race motorbikes, archery, sewing, and designing clothes. Nick went woodworking, write goodly, fly fishing, patience, and read goodly. I had ice skating, coding, counting cards, surfing, and sword master. One that I did not see get taken here that I thought Jermaine was going to take would be just learning how to fly a plane.
No, that ship sailed when they told me that in order for me to learn it, on their dime, I would have to actually become a pilot. So I was like, screw that, bro.
Nick, have you heard of the Derek Zoolander School for kids who want to learn how to read and write and do other stuff good too?
Does he have an adult magnet campus?
I don't know.
So my honorable mention, the only reason it didn't make my list is because I know I'll never be able to accomplish this, is understand women.
That's a lifelong skill that takes
all four of us just had a moment where we were like,
every single one of us was like, shit.
That would be nice. That'd be nice, but it's not going to happen. It's like you're expecting fastball. They're going to throw you curveball every time.
Speaking of, let's see. Bad Sean William Scott movies. Here we go. Bulletproof Monk.
Yeah, Bulletproof Monk, not a good one.
Southland Tales.
Never seen it.
American Loser. Mr. Woodcock. The Promotion. Yeah, see, Eric, that's why. You've never seen these movies. That's why you don't know how bad they are.
All the movies I haven't seen, so I'm good. In my eyes, dude hasn't seen a bad film.
Movie 43 was terrible.
Yeah, movie 43, not good.
American Wedding, terrible.
Yeah.
You can't count. You can't blame him for that, though. That was just Hollywood overusing a brand. Like,
I can't blame the man for signing the contract to agree to a movie. I can't blame him for putting his name, face, and image onto that movie. I can't blame him for that.
Nope.
Jesus, you're part of this generation with that accountability shenanigans.
Oh, no, don't start that. Don't start that.
No. You're the one saying he's off the hook, ladies and gentlemen.
Nonsense.
There was a Gen Z joke in there somewhere, but I couldn't.
They are who we thought they are. All right, let's get into what the fuck headline. Start with the PG one first.
Here's our PG what the fuck headline. Investigation reveals more obscene behavior for Colorado man accused of masturbating near coffee shops.
I love that they...
Was this the same? Okay. I must have sent the different headline, because the other headline I was going to send was Colorado man investigation revealed that Colorado man was ejaculating on produce at work at the Safeway.
Oh, so there's multiple ejaculating Colorado men.
Jeez. Well, I think it's the same guy, I think.
Woodworking is popular in your area?
Yeah. Go see a soup.
Oh, scroll down to this guy's picture.
Oh, this is exactly who you think would do it, bro.
You know, he kind of looks like somebody on this podcast.
Oh, my God.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is where I bid you all adieu. Come on, man.
If you guys don't have YouTube. Eric, take your hat off, please.
No, I'm not doing it.
If you're driving, pull over, pull up YouTube, scroll to the 28 mark and look at this.
Eric, stop beating off in coffee shop windows.
I'll try my best.
That's him practicing his sword smithing or whatever.
Oh my God.
It's all that goddamn sword play, Eric.
Eric, can you teach me how to woodwork as good as you?
Only in private, not in public. It causes issues.
Can you woodwork a flute for us?
So he's masturbated in front of several coffee shop windows in full view of customers and employees dating back to July of 2023. He's been on the loose for almost a year. That's amazing. When the officers began reviewing digital evidence, they discovered additional felony crimes. Revealed Masalta had masturbated and ejaculated on food items during his employment at Safeway.
There you go.
He had worked there for about 2 months, from December 2023 to February of this year.
Horrendous crime. Horrendous crime. Think of the trigger this guy has.
Dog,
that's impressive.
Sex addiction is real, bro.
That's an impressive trigger, though.
He's like,
to pull it that quick.
He's like, look at those cabbages.
Look at those heads of lettuce. Look at those melons.
Looks like most of those crimes are misdemeanors, so they can just stroke him a ticket and get him out of there. Oh, no, he's got sex assault on child. Disregard. That's a felony.
Oh.
Oh, that took a dark turn.
Oh, 16 yeah. counts Ooh. Of attempted sex assault on child.
Oh.
16?
Oof.
14 counts of indecent exposure, 2 counts of attempted indecent exposure, 4 counts of attempted unlawful sexual contact, and 16 counts of attempted sexual assault on a child. Eric, what did you say today when I shared that Jacksonville Jaguars article? We should just kill him, right?
Yeah. I mean, at that point.
I mean, when you're messing with children, like, I am pro-death.
I think that we should go back to capital punishment Wild Wild West days, dude. Just have shoot it out right there in front of the saloon, dude. Or in his case, the Starbucks.
He said the saloon.
Well, what if he survived? But hold on. That implies that he could survive if he's a good enough shot.
So next man
have,
up.
You could just have the best gunsmiths going around jerking off in front of coffee shop windows as long as they can win a duel.
That's why
those aren't good rules for society, Eric. That's
why they called Billy the Kid the quickest draw on all the land, right?
He was just blowing loads on the cabbages at the local general store.
Billy the Kid was just too quick, bro. Can't catch me. I'm the gingerbread man.
One hand's up here. What's the other hand doing?
I can't even partake in this one, dude. This is just...
Yeah, this is an even worse headline. Nevada, also the smut you've been looking up, dude. You need a
I know. Train. I have two for two of this week. I love the subcaption here. Son of OnlyFans model admits he films her content for her. He described himself as badass with pictures. Mm.
Ah,
that's so wild.
Yeah.
I don't think we need details, yeah, right?
We're done.
Yeah, we don't need details. You got. We'll post the articles. Oh, damn, I closed it.
It's a family business.
Oh my god! It's
what do you think their profit sharing agreement is?
It's a family business. The tax write offs.
Yeah, man, it's pretty good. You think? Okay, Eric, just think from a business sense, right? If you're running a grocery store, you're gonna have your son as the cashier. It's how you save money.
And you can keep an eye on him so he's not jacking off in the produce aisle.
100%. You don't have to hire some weirdo who's just jerking in on the cabbage.
Oh, dude, this is a...
We've lost control, dude. We are not in control of this plane anymore.
The D-gens have taken over. Yeah.
The monkeys are running the zoo.
We are heading for a building.
The D-gens, we're about to take out a bridge. Too soon?
The convicts are running the asylum.
Nick, how's traffic been with the bridge builders?
Oh, good. It's further north. It doesn't disturb me at all.
Oh, okay.
Good. I also haven't left the house in like 4 days, so. Work from home life, everybody.
I haven't left the house in 4 days. It's wild. Katie's
been sick. I've just been chilling. I work from home.
Hey, all right. Look, no complaints from me.
What's life like?
Nevada, do you have the NHL trade tracker pulled up? Maybe? Kind of. No?
I have a list of winners and losers.
I'll let you steer it.
All righty. So obviously a couple of weeks past the trade deadline, but that's all right because it's given us some time to see how these trades have shaken out. But yes, NHL trade deadline is over, so we'll go over some winners, losers, and then I also have a list for some meh teams. Kept the basically non-playoff contenders out of here because we frankly don't give a shit what the Anaheim Ducks did because they're the Ducks. So I'll throw out some winners, if you guys have anything else or any other thoughts, feel free to make yourself known. But so first off, we'll start with some winners. Pretty much the entire Western Conference, as far as playoff contenders, were winners. You got the Knights, who are using that cap circumvention to their benefit. They're able to get Noah Hanifin, who is one of the top D-men, They get Tomas Hertl from San Jose, and Anthony Mantha as well. Again, with the long-term injured reserve, they're going to probably get Mark Stone back. They're just, I don't know, they're bullies of the West.
Can you explain how that works?
The long LTIR?
Yeah. How is that? They're basically putting their captain on injured reserve so that he can be taken off their payroll so that they can sign more players, right?
Right. Yeah. So if you have somebody who's not season ending, but regular season ending injury, you can put them on what's called long-term injury reserve. And what that does is it takes the money that they would be making, it takes it off your books, and now you have that gap that you can sign people, trade people, or something like that. The trick is, once playoff starts, there's no longer a hard cap. So you can bring those people off LTIR and plug them right in. So the cap right now for the NHL, I think, is like 82 or 83 million. They take Stone off, and I think Hurdle is on there as well.
Stone is 9.5. His cap is 9.5 million.
Yeah. So I think last I heard, once they go into the playoffs and assuming that they're putting people back on, their cap is going to be like 105 million.
Yeah.
So,
and they have the players they traded for are cost controlled, and they have Jonathan Marchessault, and there's like three other guys that I'm now drawing a blank that are going to be huge free agents that they're most likely going to let walk. And now they bring them all together for one playoff run.
Yep.
And then, you know, they're going to let those guys walk in free agency and keep the new guys that they had.
Yep. The one problem that Vegas is running into is that they are fighting to stay in the playoffs. They are currently the eighth seed.
That's a problem. Nerds.
I mean, they're 6 points up right now on St. Louis, but we still got 10 games to go, so it's not over for them getting in. But regardless, I have in here, they're kind of like the Rams of the NHL. They're throwing everything they can for one-season runs. There's no, like, core development. It's just, hey, we're going to get some mercenaries for this year, and we're going to go for it. Some other winners, run through them real quick. The Hurricanes, they got – Jake Guentzel from Pittsburgh. The Canes, you guys have probably heard me talk about it the past few years for the, when it comes to the playoffs. The Canes are a superstar short of really being able to contend for the cup and move on in the playoffs. And now they may have it in Jake Guentzel. He was probably the Penguins' best forward. Obviously, you could argue Sidney Crosby, but he's a very big addition to it. Evgeny Kuznetsov, which came from the Capitals, he's massively talented, but the question is he motivated? And so far it's shown that he is. He's doing really well there. Also in the West, you got the Avs. Casey Mittelstadt came over, so he fills in the second line center. You get Sean Walker, who replaces Bo Byram, who was an offensive defenseman. And then you get some bottom six depth grinders. Very good, solid depth all the way through. The Panthers in the East, somehow they got Vladimir Tarasenko. And part of the reason for that is that Tarasenko had a no trade clause. And he said, the only team I will go to is Florida. So Ottawa's stuck in the water, and they just had to. So they got Tarasenko for pennies. They also got the Sabres captain, Kyle Okposo, older guy, but still he's going to fit into that Panthers lineup just fine.
Very, very playoff experienced guy in Kyle Okposo.
The Winnipeg Jets, again, in the West. They got Tyler Toffoli from the Devils, and Sean Monahan from the Canadiens. That just adds to their depth. They're already a top-tier team. They're kind of faltering here a little bit, but they'll be in the playoffs, and they're going to be a prick to play against. The Dallas Stars, they got arguably the best D-man on the trade market in Chris Tanev. I think he was the first domino to fall. He comes over from Calgary. So Dallas pretty much had a quiet trade deadline, except they got the biggest trade block or trade piece there was. So he's going to help really give up that defensive side and the defensive end, allow some of the other defenders to take an offensive role. And then the Canucks, they're my last winner, getting Lindholm. He's arguably the best second-line center that was out there on the trade market. They're actually going to try to flip him over to Boston, but that didn't work out. So, but Lindholm is going to fit in quite nice there in Vancouver. So you guys got any thoughts from that list of winners?
I mean, I agree with the Avs. I think they need a second line center, and they added it in Casey Mittelstadt. I think you nailed the Hurricanes. I think Evgeny Kuznetsov just needs a fresh start, and it kind of helps that it's that they could play the Capitals in the playoffs too. So that's a big it's a big impact for them. How the hell are the Capitals even close to the Stanley Cup playoffs right now? It is incredible. They're an eighth seed right now above the Red Wings. So keep it up, Washington. I mean, I think that we didn't really see anything surprising. Maybe this is a topic to bring up at the end. But we didn't really see anything surprising from the winners and the losers. The losers were sellers. From the winning teams and the losing teams. The losing teams were sellers, and they don't expect to make a run. And the winning teams were buyers, and they're kind of just solidifying the roster for the playoffs. So that's what I have.
I just made the West incredibly exciting for the playoffs. And the fact that the Knights are in the bottom, right, and they're going to have to play one of the top teams, that matchup is just going to be
awful.
If for the top team, it's going to be terrible, but I think that could be a lot of fun. I mean, obviously, they have to hold off the St. Louis Blues, but there's a lot of things you can count on the Blues for, and it's choking. So, realistically, the Vegas Golden Knights should get in. I was looking at all the trades, and that was my one huge takeaway. It was just like the Western Conference is – holy crap, do I not want to play those teams. Like, shout-out Colorado Avalanche fans, bro. I was like, you could not have been happy seeing all that movement go down.
Especially not for the Knights who are our bugaboo. I mean, we cannot beat the Knights in a 7-game series.
Oh man.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of fans that hate what Vegas has done the last couple of years with the LTIR, but the thing about it is it's completely legal. It's in the CBA. It's, you know, it'll have to be something that gets brought up the next time the CBA comes up. But yeah, it sucks because it's, you know what they're doing. They're just circumventing the cap. But again, it's totally within bounds. So
every team can do it too.
Yep, they can. So on to the losers, the Devils, which I think are pretty much just losers for the season in general. But the trade deadline, it was just too little too late. They trade one of their goalies, Vitek Vanacek, for Kapo Kakkonen and Jake Allen. He's from Montreal. And then they get Curtis McDermott from the Avs, enforcer, who is trying to fight Rempe. And Rempe elbowed a guy in the face and then didn't want to fight McDermott. So that's going to be a nasty fight when they play again. But again, the Devils, if they were going to turn the season around, they had to get a goalie earlier than they did, and they got the wrong one. So, well, the wrong two. Both of those goalies, one's a UFA this year and then UFA one more year away. So not good for the Devils. Another loser, the Penguins. Obviously losing Jake Guentzel to the Hurricanes was bad, but the return they got was pretty lackluster. They got conditional picks, and the prospects they got weren't even top five prospects in the Hurricanes organization. And that's arguably the number one forward on Pittsburgh's team and now the Canes team, and you didn't even get a top pick.
What was the name? Well, who was it again?
Jake Gensel.
Gensel.
Oh, okay, I know that name.
So, yeah.
and for a team that went all in on William Karlsson this year, including some first round picks for him.
Yeah, and their power play has been terrible. Like they've gone 0-38. Some sort of streak, and now they lost one of their best offensive weapons.
Oh, from 38. Is that active?
No, but it was something like that. It was terrible. Their power play percentage, I think at one point, was like 8%.
Yeah, not great.
The only time you want to be 0-38 is if you're the pitcher and the hitters are 0-38 on you.
Yeah, that'd be very nice. Be
a we kind of talked about the Senators with their hand being forced by Tarasenko. So, you know, it sucks, but it is what it is. You could have held on to him, but whatever. I guess you get a couple, like, third-round picks or whatever, something like that. And then the last two losers I have are the LA Kings and the New York Islanders, who did absolutely nothing. And these are teams fighting for playoffs and or in the playoff picture, and they did nothing.
I love to hear it for both those teams, so. Because I don't like either one.
Yeah. The Kings almost had it where they were trying to trade for Boston's goaltender, Linus Ullmark. And then Ullmark said, and no.
Oh, he vetoed that shit?
Yep. The trade was in place and he said, no, thank you.
Because in NHL, they do like you can pick 10 teams that you won't get traded to or you can't get traded to, right?
Yeah. Some guys have – it's a modified trade clause. So, yeah, they can have 10-team or 12-team, no trade list. But
and he's good enough to probably have that clause, right?
Yeah, he might even have a full no trade clause. I'm not sure. But, yeah, Kings and Islanders, they could have made some noise in the playoffs, but they stood pat. And I think they're – let me check with the Kings. I don't even know if they're in the playoff spot right now. They're just above wild card spot. So, yeah, Islanders and oh, no, the Islanders are now down in the East. Islanders are – ooh, they're bad. They're 6 points back. The Kings are just above the Mendoza line for the wild card. So
the Mendoza line.
Not good. Do you guys have any other losers from the trade deadline?
Yeah, I'll say the New York Rangers, right? They are the team that they're right now, if the season ended today, they'd win the President's Cup, right? They have 100 points. They're the first team to clinch a postseason spot right now. But to know that Jake Gensel was available and to have the Hurricanes snag it in the division, to know that Pittsburgh was trading away, to miss out on that, and then to miss out on some of the other guys that just moved in your conference is bad for a Rangers team that is kind of relying on what they've relied on the last 2 years that haven't really brought them postseason success and just hoping this year's the year.
Yeah. The Detroit Red Wings. You know what I mean? Like this was the year you kind of wanted to start seeing positive momentum to getting back to it. You signed Patrick Kane in December and it's like you rest on your laurels. Like that was going to be good enough, even though he's coming off that serious injury. So it's like, what were you doing? And they decided to do nothing. I think they got Petry, I think, and I'm not sure they did much else on the deadline.
Yeah, they are currently 2 points out of the final wild card spot. So they can still leapfrog Washington, but obviously that'll come down to the last 10 games.
The Capitals have a negative 26 goal differential. And they're two games up on the wild card. But, 2 points up.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that is just because they were so terrible for quite a while, but now they're – I mean, here's the tale right here. In the last 10 games, Washington is 7-3. Detroit is 3-6-1.
Suck it, Detroit.
Oh, dang.
So, and look out now. I hate to say this, but look out now because the Tampa Bay Lightning, speaking out of last 10, are 8-1-1. You don't want a hot Tampa Bay Lightning team going in.
Damn it. Kill that dynasty already.
Kill me.
Somebody cock the shotgun, go into that locker room and put them out of their goddamn misery, dude.
Avs 9-1 in their last 10.
So that
guys always say they're bad, and then every time I watch them, they're doing real, real good. I'm like, I don't know what I'm watching.
It could be so much better. It could be so much better.
So, Nick, funny enough that your Tampa comment leads right into my mid-tier, and the Lightning are one of the teams I have on the mid-tier. They got what the hell's his name? Dumba. Matt Dumba, who kind of fills in for Sergachev, who had that nasty twisted ankle tib-fib fracture. Was that about 6 weeks ago or something?
Yeah.
So he kind of fills in that spot. Obviously, he's not to Sergachev's level, but he's essentially a poor man's Sergachev. They also got Anthony Duclair from San Jose, who's a good winger, speedy. And then the Lightning got that core, and it helps to have the best goalie in the world, especially in the playoffs. So I got the Rangers in there as well. Nick, you kind of touched on it. Roslovich, and then they got Alex Winberg. Both of them are kind of like those two-way grinders. I think they'll do well there. They obviously not splashy trade moves, but they're currently the number one team in all of NHL point-wise, so maybe it's working out. The Flyers, who can't seem to understand what a rebuild is, they got Denis Gerionov from Dallas, a forward, and Eric Johnson from Buffalo on the defensive side. Neither one of them's going to pop off, but not terrible players either. Boston, like I said, Ullmark killed the trade to the Kings, but they got Pat Maroon. And then Peak, another defenseman from Columbus. Again, nothing spectacular about the trades, but obviously, they saw holes that need to be filled, and those were the two they went after. I'll skip that team for last. The Oilers. A lot of people kind of liked what the Oilers did. I think they fit into the team. They just weren't amazing trades, which I guess you probably don't need when you have McDavid and Dreisaitl. They added Troy Stretcher on the defensive side, Adam Henrique and Sam Carrick, both forwards from Anaheim. So just kind of giving themselves a little bit more depth. And then finally, they were in the playoff hunt, but the Minnesota Wild, they didn't really have any additions. They were a little bit too far out in the wild card. So I can't blame them too much. The one team that I have on here that was originally a mid team, which I think I'll stick with for a trade deadline, was Nashville Predators. They are currently 18-0-2 since the All-Star break. So All-Star break or trade deadline, either or. They have not lost a game in regulation.
Jesus Christ.
They have points in every single game for the last 20 games. So
I was going to say, thank God, right now, if the season ended today, the Avs would play the Predators. Oh, wait, no, they wouldn't. They do that weird division thing, don't they?
Right now, we would be playing the Jets.
Suck it, nerds.
So the Predators, let's see. The Predators have pretty much locked up a wild card. They're 10 points above the Blues, and they're on a 20-game heater.
Yeah.
So they're probably safe. They added Anthony Beauvillier, who's a decent middle six forward. They did a good job. Obviously, it's paying off with a 20-game heater, but they did a good job not moving UC Saros, who's one of the better underrated goalies in the league. There was a lot of smoke there that he was going to get moved, but they didn't. They have him under control for two more years, but they probably will move him next year because they got a stud in the AHL that very well could be in a Vezina contender for all of his career. And that's Yaroslav Askarov. So Germain's coach, Andrew Burnett, coming over from the Panthers and then the Can- or the Devils.
Devils, yeah.
He's got them humming, which I'm not surprised, but I didn't think they're – coach. Yeah. I guess it helps to have a 20-game heater, but
– It never hurt nobody.
Yeah, it never hurt. So that's down and skinny for the trade deadline for the NHL. Again, the West – most of the West, as far as the playoff teams, were winners. It's going to be ugly as far as the matchup go. It's going to be haymaker after haymaker. And then the top tier teams in the East, the Hurricanes and the Panthers, won the trade deadline. So everything's molding together. Playoff seedings are starting to settle in a little bit. So we're almost there. 10 more games.
Yeah, 10 games. We'll do it. We'll be doing an actual playoff primer for the NHL season, obviously, and we'll be picking who we think is going to make the finals, who's going to win it all, MVPs, stuff like that. So when we do the playoff primer, we can get into it in a lot more detail, but we did want to cover that trade deadline. I think that, to my memory, that might be one of the craziest trade deadlines I've seen in if not, maybe not my life, because I never really followed it like that super closely, but at least the last 5 years, I'd say it was probably the craziest.
Yeah, I think the biggest takeaway, at least for me, was all the top-tier talent, defense, and forwards going to the top-tier teams. Hanifin, Hurdle, Gensel, Mittelstadt, Tarasenko, Toffoli, Tanev, Lindholm. It was great. A shit ton.
That's a lot of talent you just named. That's so crazy to me. Yeah, I think that was good. NHL trade deadline brought to you by Nevada, the hockey expert of the pod. I think right now is a great time to start tuning in, because the games have been good lately. And you're going to start seeing who some of these teams will make noise in the playoffs. Like Nevada said, 18-0-2, that's crazy. Like that's like Boston Bruins last year. What are the Thunder doing? Anyways, sorry, I'm watching this overtime game and the Thunder are just falling apart.
Hell yeah.
They can score in a blink of an eye, but they can't. Anyways, let's get into the NFL free agency. We're now about 3 weeks into NFL free agency from the legal tampering period. About maybe it's like 18 days, but we'll round up to 3 weeks. So what we'll do is each of us gets three. They can be three losers if you want. They could be all winners if you want. They could be a combination of winners and losers. And it doesn't have to be teams. It could be players. It could be players lost, teams lost. You know, I mean, you've done this. We've done this a million, kajillion, billion, trillion times. We'll start with Eric here. So go ahead, Eric.
All right, sweet. So I'll keep mine brief. My first winner is going to be a team. It's going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers. They got a quarterback that can come in right now in this situation, and if he's even half as who he was before, I think they'll be okay. Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season. And then they also potentially have the quarterback of the future.
Line open for the Steelers, 7.5.
Did it really?
That's bonkers.
That's crazy. Hammer that right now.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this pod, NFL win total lines have dropped some places already.
Before the draft, that's crazy. But anyway, I think Pittsburgh did a really good job. They went and got Patrick Queen to shore up the defense. If I'm not mistaken, they also got like two safeties and a cornerback, Dante Jackson. And the reason they jumped up on my list, I was going to pick a different team, but I picked them, is because with the rule change, they went out and got the second best kick returner of all time. I still think Devin Hester's the best kick returner of all time, but they went and got Cordarrelle Patterson. And with this new kickoff rule, I mean, field position is a big part of this game. So I'm going to give them a winner.
You think they're lining 31-year-old Cordarrelle Patterson up as a kick returner still?
Yeah, 100%. Until he proves that he can't do it, yeah, I would do it. And if he can't, then it is what it is. But in my mind right now, I'm going to say that he's going to be their kick returner.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's not 31-year-old kick returner Cordarrelle Patterson. This is an Arthur Smith offense. That is starting running back Cordarrelle Patterson.
Hey, that's true.
That's RB1.
All right. So
oh, good
that's
Lord.
So funny. That's Eric's first. We'll move to Nevada. Nevada next. Nevada, what's your first winner, loser, or just takeaway? I'm just going to say takeaways from now on.
Yeah, I think I'll go. My first takeaway that really struck me when it opened up was the lack of loyalty by running backs' former teams. It was, nope, we're done with you. We're done with you. It was just a massive musical chairs with running backs. I'm not going to get into my other takeaway just yet, but just the lack of loyalty to running backs. Jermaine hit on it last year with the crazy amount of running backs who weren't getting paid or were getting severely underpaid. Now that's turned into, we're not paying you at all. Go find another team.
Yeah, the writing was on the wall. Once you franchise tag Saquon Barkley and pay Daniel Jones and you know what I mean, and you franchise tag Josh Jacobs, the two of the more productive running backs in the NFL in the last 4 or 5 years, it was kind of expected. I will say that I'm surprised they got as much money as they did, even though my favorite way to like frame how poorly running backs are treated is Saquon and Josh Jacobs right now would be the 10th highest paid tight end.
Amazing.
So I don't know if any of you play fantasy football, but you know how awful some of these tight ends really are out there. Yeah. And a fun trivia question. Would you like to know who the highest paid tight end is right now? Based on cap hit. I don't know if it's total money based on how, you know, structured, but cap
Kyle
hit.
Pitts.
No.
Evan Ingram?
No. Eric, you get one guess.
I don't know. I'm going to say it's probably one of the idiot, like Hunter Henry or something stupid.
Darren Waller.
Oh, my God. Mm.
I looked that up and I was like, that is... I fucking hate contracts, dude. I got so mad when I saw Darren Waller. He's a $18.8 million cap hit. And that man's thinking about retiring. Bro, you play 6 games a year. Just come give us another 6 and you'd be good. Nick, you say something?
I said that's all you need. That's all you need. Six games.
6 games. You get that cool 18. All right. So that was Nevada's first takeaway. Nick, give us yours.
I'm going to go my first loser. It's going to be the Carolina Panthers defense. So I love Carolina bringing an offensive-minded coach, a guy who's hopefully going to turn Bryce Young into a productive passer. He's going to revamp the offense like he did in Tampa. I didn't think it was going to come at the expense of the one thing that's been good in Carolina, which has been our defense. Brian Burns gone for pennies on the dollar. Brian Burns and a fifth round pick for a second rounder, a fifth rounder, and a 2025 rounder. Jeremy Chin gone. Dante Jackson gone. Von Bell gone. They just agreed to terms today with Jadeveon Clowney. Okay, that's good, I guess, but it seems like Carolina.
You also signed A'shaun Robinson and DJ Wanham and Josie Jewell. I think you might be a little hard, but I can see where the lens you're viewing it from, right? I can see the lens you're viewing it from.
It seems like the Carolina Panthers in free agency have gone all offense and have disregarded the defensive side of the ball.
Are they going to take 7 straight defensive players in this draft?
I hope they take only offensive players. Score 49, allow 48, baby.
We want exciting football. God damn it. That's very funny. I thought you would be pretty happy with, especially they added Jadeveon Clowney. You know, they added Clavon Chaisson. They added A'shaun Robinson, DJ Wanham, Josie Jewell. Like, those are all very good football players. And, you know, I know they don't have a first round pick, but they have 2 seconds.
Woo.
He's so mad. All right. I'll give you my first takeaway. Man, it's pretty tough. But my first takeaway is just RIP quarterbacks. Quarterbacks that were once, you know, had given somebody some hope somewhere, because you know that's what Kenny Pickett did. You know that's what Mac Jones did. Especially after Mac Jones' rookie season, you know that's what Justin Fields did to the Bears for, you know, a brief modicum of time. But all of them have since been unceremoniously dumped, and in a league that overvalues quarterbacks, right? And what I mean from that, I know you need a quarterback to win. I'm not saying you don't need that. But how often do teams miss on quarterbacks in the first round? How often do they just give everything away to get a quarterback? I mean, Nick just went through that last season. They gave away the number one wide receiver on their team to get a quarterback, which makes absolutely no sense from a roster construction standpoint, right? But they gave away some of these guys. They were like, they literally said, get off my team. They took him to the door and threw him out Uncle Phil, Jazzy Jeff style. And I was kind of blown away by that. Also, that'll be my second takeaway. Actually, we're going to go back in the order that I just went. So my second takeaway is Chicago fucked the Justin Fields situation. That is inexcusable from a general manager standpoint. If I'm not getting any value for Justin Fields, I have enough cap room, and he is a grown-ass man. I don't owe you anything, my man. I gave you 3 years. To the point where we traded the number one overall pick last year and you couldn't stay healthy. We gave you 3 years. You have a grown-up conversation with him and you say you're going to sit there and you're going to ride the bench. And if anything happens to Caleb Williams, then you'll get your opportunity. You are a professional. You are still going to get paid $18 million this year or some ridiculous number because he's in the tail end of his rookie contract. And you keep him on your team and let's say – training camp comes around and God forbid someone tears their Achilles. Where have we heard that before?
Or now, the first 7 minutes of a game.
Now, all of a sudden, you have a tangible asset that a team needs and you can leverage their situation into a higher draft pick. And if not, I don't give a goddamn about a sixth round pick. I don't. You could keep your sixth round pick. I'll rather let him walk in free agency than trade him. That is the stupidest way. You're a general manager. Act like it. What are you fucking doing? As long as you're communicative with these people and you're still cutting the checks when you're supposed to be cutting the checks, guess what? They will fucking do what they're told because they are professionals. That is the stupidest freaking thing I've ever heard. Congratulations to the Pittsburgh Steelers, because any other team in the league could have traded a sixth round conditional pick for Justin Fields. What the fuck are you doing by not doing that? New York Jets, what are you doing with 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers and not trading a sixth conditional for Justin Fields? New York Giants, Daniel Jones, he's hurt. When the fuck's he coming back? You can't trade a sixth for Justin Fields? Seattle, hello. Geno Smith, hello. You just signed McDonald from Baltimore Ravens. Who's he used to having as his quarterback? Lamar fucking Jackson. You don't think that guy could have done something with Justin Fields for a sixth fucking round pick? I'm blown away by how stupid all these other organizations are. I haven't really talked about this with you guys, but I was unbelievably hot with that whole situation. So L to the Chicago Bears, even though you guys had a great offseason, you get a fat L for that whole Justin Fields debacle. But go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, I'm going to go back with the Carolina Panthers offense. So Robert Hunt, Damian Lewis, trading for Deontay Johnson. Deontay Johnson got, I think, top five, if not the best. He's one of the best wide receivers in terms of separation last year. Not just last year. In his career.
Like 4 or 5 years, he's been like top 10. He's like 97th percentile
separation. And he's played with guys named Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph and Devlin Duck Hodges. You think he's not going to make Bryce Young better? Like, I think it'll be fine, right? If Bryce Young can get Adam Thielen, the ghost of Adam Thielen, to 100 catches and 1,000 yards, we'll be fine. That's awesome. I love to see that. Robert Hunt, Damian Lewis, two great guards, high-ranked guards, interior guys. For a small quarterback like Bryce Young, it's imperative to protect the middle. Also a mobile guy like Bryce Young, who showed last year he wants to sit in the pocket. He wants to throw. He doesn't want to be a running quarterback. He doesn't want to get outside. He wants to save his body. Those are big hog mollies in the middle that are able to protect him. And I do love a good signing of long snapper JJ Jansen, re-signing of JJ Jansen, who I think is the last Panther, I think from the 2004 Super Bowl, maybe.
Maybe he
replaced John Casey as the longest tenured Panther of all time. So it was nice. That was a good thing to see.
2004 Super Bowl?
I think so. Let's see.
Been in the league for 16 years. Dog. Yeah. That is 16 years? Let me get a year-by-year breakdown.
Yeah, he holds the record for most games played by a Panther. Oh, but he set that in 2002. Oh, no.
In 2002?
2009 is when he came in the league. Okay, I'm remiss.
Yeah, bro. In 2004 is... My man's been running around for 20 years. I was like, you guys can't find a better long snapper.
Don't need one.
We got him. We got him.
Locked him up.
All right. There's Nick. Nick's third takeaway will be Carolina Panthers special teams.
Yeah. Yep. It'll be meh. No opinion.
All right, Nevada, give us your next one.
All right. I don't know why this hit me when I was hearing all these acquisitions, but the Manders are about 5 years behind schedule because it feels like they're trying to bring back 2019 prime. They sign Austin Eckler, Zach Ertz, Clelin Ferrell, Dante Fowler Jr., Bobby Wagner, who should be retired, and Brandon McManus. Those are their highlights.
Bro,
they were all good 5 years ago. They were great five years ago.
That's a Madden 20 gold team.
Like, is this a dynasty league where they're just scraping the barrel and saying these guys used to be good once, like 4 years ago?
We're rebuilding.
Yeah, you're trying to going back to the future or something. Manders, you got new ownership. Like, let's get some new blood in here, not new old blood.
At least they got the number two, though, right? So they get a bring in at least.
So far.
They draft the oldest quarterback available.
Yeah. Manders, good on you for getting new blood on it, but by God, get somebody that's been good this decade.
Who's the head coach for the Commanders? They just signed him, right?
Shit. Yeah, I'll look it up.
Eric, you want to give us your next?
Dan Quinn.
Oh my God! Was he good in 2019?
He was. He was
pretty good in 2019. He's like, I remember these guys cost me my job. I'm gonna sign them.
That's amazing. The all 2019 squad, aka the Washington Manders. All
right. No, sorry, Dan Quinn went 7-9 in 2019. You're looking for the 2016-2017 Dan Quinn.
Yeah, all right. Well, we'll push all those players into that year because they were probably good that year, too. All right, Eric, double tap us.
Yeah, whoa. Okay. So,
pause.
I hadn't talked to you about your view on it, so it kind of changed my view. But I'm still going to say that a positive for me was the Chicago Bears. I guess I didn't view the Justin Fields thing that
Everything
way.
Everything besides Justin Fields is phenomenal.
I mean, Keenan Allen, DeAndre Swift. They not fixed, but they got some upgrades at the O-line. They brought in a backup tight end, and then they stacked that secondary. They re-signed Jalen Johnson, brought in Kevin Byard, Jonathan Owens for the Packers. So I think before I heard your viewpoint and started, you know, reassessing, I thought it was good that they ripped off the Band-Aid and just decided, like, hey, we're just going to go with Caleb, bring in weapons for him, and we're going to rock with him. So that was I'm a little less like that. It's still a win, but that, you know, they should have gotten way more for Justin Field, or that idea of what if Caleb Williams comes in and blows his kneecap out, you know.
Bro, I'd rather have two quarterbacks than none. Justin 100%. Fields, I'm paying you, bro. Be the backup.
No, I get that. So like,
from that perspective, but everything else they did, this might be, you guys might be able to tell me a better situation, but what quarterback has ever come into a better situation? I've heard this talking point several different places, and I can't think of a single one that has
Tom Brady
been drafted into a better situation, right? I don't think the Patriots were all that good when he got it. Well, actually, they had Drew Bledsoe, right?
Didn't he win his first year, or was it his second year? It doesn't matter. It's not the same thing. This is probably the best situation anybody's been set in.
He got to play because Bledsoe broke himself.
He sacrificed his life for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He laid down on his shield for him.
Yep. Right.
Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, Gerald Everett, DeAndre Swift, Khalil Herbert. They have the first and nine, right? So let's say they're going to go Caleb Williams, right? We all pretty much in consensus there. Yep. Nobody thinks they're going Drake May or anything crazy like that.
I hope so. First of all,
it would be amazing. Just
hello, God.
Just from the content perspective, just to see people's heads explode, I would love to see it from that perspective. But for the love of God, Caleb Williams being drafted to Chicago may be already the best quarterback in Bears history, right? And then they get a number nine pick. They could add an offensive tackle on top of that. Or, I mean, God forbid they add another wide receiver. I don't think you would want to, but yeah, Keenan Allen's only got what, one more year? You draft his replacement. You don't pay Keenan Allen and you have that cap space next year. I agree, Eric. I'm purely spotlighting that Justin Fields situation.
Yeah.
And I viewed it from a general manager prism. Like, this is, they're grown men.
Yeah.
I don't have to do right by Justin Fields at all. I gave you 3 years. I traded the number one overall last year. I believed in you so much. I traded last year's number one overall. It's bonkers to me. It's bonkers to me that you can't have that conversation. It's bonkers to me that you didn't handle it better from that perspective. But you're correct. Chicago, like, if I'm a Bears fan, I gotta be excited.
I think they should be. I mean, obviously, you know, things gotta hit and systems gotta work and people gotta have chemistry, but it's looking real nice up in that city.
If we're giving out paper championships, I'd say, hey, yeah. Chicago, you might be getting one, big fella. All right, give us your next one.
And my next one is going to be an individual. And I wanna congratulate this man on deceiving and just Kirk Cousins. One playoff win, and he just signed a $180 million deal, and he's already made in his career $281.5 million. Okay, so he's adding that on top of that. Come on, man. He's won one playoff. This is the greatest finesser of all time.
Someone look up his agent. Let's get these executive producers.
Thumbs up to his agent. Thumbs up to Kirk. And Kirk's a good dude. You see him with his family. He's wearing his Kmart shirts and stuff. Mad respect for the guy. Especially considering he's managed to, in essence, you know, bend these teams over a barrel and show them the 50 states because he's getting cashed out and he's not. He's basically Tony Romo. He balls out, puts up crazy numbers, but he's not going to win you a playoff game.
I think that's a great comparison. Richest dad in all the land is what I call Kirk Cousins.
Eric, I have here with the biggest free agent quarterback contracts in NFL history.
Uh-huh. That's not the agent.
I know.
Executive producer.
I got it typed in. I'll get to you here after
Mike,
I read this.
Out. Mike McCartney is his agent.
Thank you very much, Nick. Co-host. Way to double tap the roles today. Go ahead, Nevada.
I'll go further. Is that the guy from CU?
It's the son of Bill McCartney. Yeah.
Grandson.
Former what? No. Son.
It's got to be the grandson.
It's the son.
Okay. Anyway, biggest free agent quarterback contracts in NFL history. At number eight, Teddy Two Gloves, 3 years, 63. Number seven, Brock Lobster, 4 years, 72 mil. Jimmy G, 3 years, 72.75. Number five, Kirk Cousins, 3 years, 84 mil. Number four, Nick Foles, 4 years, 88 mil. Number three, Peyton, 5 years, 96 mil. Number two, Jermaine's Derek Carr, 4 years, 150. And number one, Kirk Cousins again, 4 years, 180.
Yeah, he's got naked pictures on somebody.
That dude's a mercenary. He's just like, how much you gonna pay me? Sure, I'll come chuck a rock for you.
Yeah.
He's like, this gonna cut into bedtime story time? Right. No? All right, bet. I got you.
I gotta be back in the crib by 8.
He's like, bedtime is 8:30. Firm. Shout out Kirk Cousins, bro. That is the best way to describe him. I call him the richest dad in the world. Eric calls him the ultimate finesser. Like, both words work. And Quavo is super hyped to have him. He called him Kirk Frost. And I died laughing. I thought that was pretty funny. But it doesn't matter. Kirk Cousins, one playoff win, all that money fits perfectly with the Atlanta Falcons.
So, because we're a professional podcast, my final winner was going to be the Atlanta Falcons offense with Kirk Cousins, right? How happy. Raheem Morris, defense DC for the Rams, right? Correct, former DC for the Rams.
Right? Yeah, former interim head coach for the Atlanta Falcons before they signed Arthur Smith in the offseason.
Right. So Raheem Morris went out. A lot of people were skeptical. He's a defensive-minded head coach. We're still going to have the same offensive struggles that we were having before. Went out, they signed Kirk Cousins. How happy does Bijan Robinson, Drake London, then they went out and got Darnell Mooney, Kyle Pitts, that whole Atlanta Falcons offense just gained a new level of relevance again that they haven't had in a while, that we wanted them to have, right?
And they have the number eight. They always have the number eight. They have the number eight again this year, right?
Yeah, they got Bijan at 8 or 7.
It's 8 because they got Drake London at 8. That Atlanta Falcons
was 8. Yeah, Bijan was 8.
They always draft at 8. It's like the Chicago Bulls in 7. We Drake always draft at
Drake
7.
Drake was at 8. Yep.
No, and here's the real thing. The offensive coordinator that I wanted the Saints to sign got picked up by the Atlanta Falcons. So I'm not happy with the offseason they put together, except I have Bijan and Kyle Pitts.
And the Falcons have the 8th pick, yeah.
And the Falcons have the 8th pick. They always pick 8. I'm telling you, bro. They can't let – you can book it, bro. Even with Kirk Cousins, like, next year, I might make it a lock. Atlanta picks 8 next year.
Not to mention, before we go on, he signed a 4-year, $180 million deal after tearing his Achilles at the age of, what, 34, 35?
I think he's 35, I think.
35 years old. Come on. That's the ultimate finesse, dude. He just walked into the bank and walked out with all the money.
And it's his plant leg. I know I beat this point into the ground, but it feels very important to me. Like, tearing your Achilles on your plant leg seems much worse than tearing it on your non-throwing leg.
Jermaine, this is the new NFL. Quarterbacks don't use plant legs anymore, right?
It's all their legs, the wrist.
Their legs are amphibious. They don't need any of them.
All right, Nevada, give us your final takeaway.
Yeah, I will. I'm not going to go with the running back carousel because that one, it would take too long. I'm going to go with teams recognizing the importance of interior defensive linemen and those top tier guys getting paid.
Can we obviously put that on Chris a Jones.
Yeah, yeah. obviously Chris Jones.
The interior lineman and getting
the importance of interior defensive lineman. Breaking news, everybody. Chris
Bro,
Jones signing for
that
5.
Voice, that would have been amazing. Go ahead, Nevada. Sorry.
I can redo it if you want. Chris Jones with KC obviously re-signing 5 years, $160 million. Worth it. Christian Wilkins from Miami is now going to be with the Raiders. 4 years, $110 million. And then let me scroll up here so I can find the numbers. But Matt Ebuke with Baltimore, who really turned on to be arguably the best interior defensive lineman. 4 years, $98 million. So all three of those, well, four of those guys getting paid. So good on them. It's a good time to be an interior defensive lineman.
Teams releasing.
Boo. Damn it.
Oh, you suck, Nick. Boo. You give Eric crap for carpentry.
Carpentry.
Since this is a professional podcast, I'm gonna ride that defensive tackle train and just absolutely take a second to clown defensive tackle Eric Armstead. Eric Armstead was asked to take a pay cut from the Super Bowl losing NFC North champions, San Francisco 49ers. They asked him to move his pay from $21 million to $17 million. He said,
but Jermaine, he surely got paid more, right?
Eric Armstead said, fuck you, pay me. If you don't pay me, release me. San Francisco 49ers were more than happy to oblige. They released the young man and said, Godspeed. We wish you the best luck. Don't let the fucking sun hit you where the sun don't shine, or whatever that saying is. Eric Armstead proceeds to go into free agency, test the waters, try to get contracts from teams, realize nobody was paying for his 30-year-old services. I believe Eric Armstead is 30 years old, and settled for the Jacksonville Jaguars at...
Oh, they got a lot of money.
At 3 years.
Yeah.
At 3 years,
yeah,
he got $17 million a year, so it's $54 million. Oh. 3 years, $54 million. So he had $17 million a year. Why would you not just take the pay cut to stay with the San Francisco 49ers?
No state tax.
Hey, I mean, maybe Florida over California. That is a good selling point of that. I didn't think of it from that perspective. So, but it still seems stupid to me because I'm trying to win.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Right. 17 mil, 17 mil, right? You're still going to get taxed ridiculously. Yeah. Unless you can write off your dogs and handbags and all that other stuff. Bro, Eric Armstead, another L. I went negative because I figured you guys were going to go positive. So I just decided to hand out some L's on my behalf. You guys got anything else? Any honorable mentions for free agency?
I got one. And it's a... It's a bad one. Dallas Cowboys. What are you guys doing?
They're all in, though, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I got one. It'll be a positive. Not so much a signing, but the Lions being able to keep both coordinators.
Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn. That was a steal.
Both of them head coaching candidates. Both of them, for whatever reason, stayed.
Talk about somebody keeping a candidate. Steve Spagnuolo stayed with Kansas City.
It's his drinking problem. They have the best treatment facilities there.
Yeah, just ask Britt Reid.
But him and Andy's son.
Yeah. But no, I think the Lions keeping both the continuity with that coaching staff and all that.
Run it back.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, I just think what job was Ben Johnson looking at? He had to have been looking at a job, and when that – Bell, he was like, I'm not, there's no better situation here.
Yeah.
I don't know what that job is.
You would probably want a team with the first, second, or third pick, right?
So yeah.
Carolina's out.
Yeah. So maybe like Chicago. You're probably looking at, hopefully Chicago got rid of Eberflus, but they decided to keep him, which I think was a catastrophic mistake. They kept Eberflus. Maybe you wanted the Washington Commanders, but do you really want to go coach the Washington Commanders even with the number two pick?
No.
I mean, Atlanta didn't seem interested in Ben Johnson. They were all hot and bothered by, yeah, there's some things that the Bears did that really pissed me off this offseason. So maybe I'm not that high on it, but the GM did a very good job. Keeping the coach is a bad idea. That just a field situation. But, you know, Atlanta wanted Bill. Chargers wanted Harbaugh, right? If I was Ben Johnson, the Chargers was the job I wanted.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yep.
Right? And now they're all gone, right? Mike Williams is gone. Keenan Allen's gone. But at the time, you know, he was looking at Austin Ekeler, Mike Williams.
Oh, yeah. You got to feel bad for Justin Herbert.
So here's, and here's the thing. This is in a hundred and hold on. I'm going to pull up the statistic before we sign off here.
Yeah, he wakes or goes to bed one day and he's got Keenan Allen, probably not Austin Eckler, but,
It's the football equivalent of the apocalypse. Like you wake up one day, you're like, where'd everybody go?
Yeah. So where's that Greg Roman stat? Jesus Christ. All right. In 162 games, Greg Roman coached or has been the offensive coordinator, right? His QB has completed 26 passes 16 times.
Jeez.
And Harbaugh loves to run it too, right?
They ran it 32 straight times against Penn State, Eric. Yeah, I got stats to back that up too. Look, Harbaugh was his – Greg Roman was Harbaugh's OC in San Francisco when they went to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they're familiar with each other. What did they do? They had Frank Gore. They were running people into goddamn oblivion. Look, Justin Herbert, I think he's still good, and I think he's still going to – he's God called timeout. I think Justin Herbert's still good, right? And I think Justin Herbert wants to win, so I don't think he cares how it gets done. But, man, from the perspective of us ever wanting Justin Herbert to be 5,050, this ain't happening no more.
Can I bring up something, though? Is losing Mike Williams really that bad?
Yes.
That dude never amounted to what – we thought he was going to be coming out of Clemson.
Dude, this is the same argument people have with Amari Cooper. Everyone's always down on Amari Cooper, and then Amari Cooper goes out and balls. Every year, Mike Evans is an afterthought, and then Mike Evans puts up 1,000. Yeah.
Bro. Look, part of – you know what? I'm not even going to try to –
Are you saying Mike Evans?
No, go ahead. I'm just
– Look, I'm saying I get that. The dude, you know, but – come on, man. He gave you 8 games a year at most. Like, come on.
Yeah, I think it's crazy.
He's better off with Quentin Johnston or Johnston and who is it, Palmer?
Quentin Johnston can't catch.
Josh Palmer? Is that what you're talking about?
No. Who's there? Yeah. Josh Palmer?
Yeah, Josh Palmer.
Did we lose Nevada?
I think so, because Nevada's internet is shiesty. So he's played 10, 16, 15, 15, 16, 13, and then 3 last year. Those are his game totals per year.
So he did play 16 twice.
Yeah, 10, 16, 15, 15, 16, 13, and 3. This is why I hate when people get labeled injury prone. Sorry, Nevada, if you were making this point, we kind of lost you. But when people get labeled injury prone and then you go look at it, you're like, how are we saying this? So,
Maybe because I had him in fantasy those years that he went out.
And first of all,
that's why you hate him.
There will be no Mike Williams slander on this podcast because I gave Mike Williams a tour in Diego Garcia
of the ship.
And he asked me how much a tank was worth, and I blew his mind. So there will be zero Mike Williams slander on this podcast. He is an angel.
Gotcha, bro.
And I don't care how injury prone is, he'll still have a spot right here.
That was so dope to have him on the ship, bro. That was so dope. Who was the other guy that was with him?
It wasn't Quentin Johnston, but it was something like that, like Quentin Johnson or so. It was like some guy who fell off. And then Mike Williams, who didn't. And we're like, we know that guy.
I think it was like Nico Palmer, if I'm not mistaken.
Maybe. I don't know.
How long has Josh Palmer been in the league? Maybe it's Josh Palmer, dude. but then the flag football event, remember?
Yeah.
Played flag football with Mike Williams, dog.
Josh Palmer's been in the league for 4 years.
It wasn't Josh Palmer. Nick, name drop whore.
All right. By the way, if you guys are watching on YouTube, this new banner feature is going to be a new favorite of mine.
We've had this the whole time. I've shown you this a long time ago. Rebuttal. No rebuttal.
He's typing his rebuttal now. So
yeah, his rebuttals and points are going to be in this banner now.
It will be.
Nick, tech savvy. Oh, all right. You guys got anything else for the 10s and 10s?
No, sir.
As always, thank you for listening. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at Podcast Room 303. Follow our sister pod at Revenge of the Pod on all things social. Or I think it's like at ROTP Boys. And we'll see you next time when you come on down and step into the room.